John is preparing his time of mourning with Ryan, headed off to college. In fact, this week they'll be taking Ryan down to Oklahoma for college. So you can be praying for the newsos. Those loud noises you hear in the middle of the week, that is not a strange animal in your yard. That's the newsos. Okay, so pray for them as they are wailing and weeping and gnashing of teeth and all kinds of other stuff. All right, so pray for them. And as the offering's been received, I want to show you a little video, and just for fun. And just kind of, especially in the light of current events over the last couple of weeks, just kind of want to show this to you. And so take a look at this video.
Chick-fil-A. I could eat there 7 times a day, where the people laugh and children play. Oh, I'm in love with Chick-fil-A. Suddenly, I need waffle fries in front of me, with some nuggets and a large sweet tea. Oh, Chick-fil-A, you set me free. Kids, get in the van so we can go there today. But their stores are closed, oh I know, 'cause it's Sunday. Chick-fil-A, what a dirty, rotten trick to play. Now I have to settle for Subway. Oh, I'm in love with Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A.
I just couldn't pass that up. And you may not be familiar, that's Tim Hawkins. He's a Christian comedian. His name again is Tim Hawkins. You could go to YouTube, and he's got a number of different things. In fact, he actually has another version. That's from 2009. He actually has another version of the Chick-fil-A song that he actually did as at a Chick-fil-A function. So you can do it. He's hilarious, and he's a Christian comedian. Well worth listening to and looking up, because he's got some pretty funny stuff. He does a little spoof of the traditional bedtime prayer, "Now I lay me down to sleep." It's hilarious, so you need to make sure you look that up, all right? But anyway, and I want to encourage you just a couple of things, and now to kind of transition into a commercial for Pastor John in the fall. Pastor John's going to be doing a series, you know, again, in the light of current events, and I'm not trying to make too much of this, and before I even say what I'm going to say, I want to encourage you, if you're not familiar with Victory or with Pastor John and Michelle and the heart of this church, we're not anti-anything, okay? We're actually pro-everybody. You know what that means? It means God loves everybody. Amen? And so this has been blown so crazy, it's ridiculous how even just the whole Chick-fil-A thing, because I actually want to show you the statements that set the whole thing off, which is just ridiculous, really, if you want to look at them, because I'll show them to you. But in the light of just the craziness of the last few weeks, even just with this one illustration, and it's, you know, you don't have to be a genius to figure out within the culture of today just how, and this is not new, okay? The Bible, Christians, us having to navigate the culture in which we live in, it's all in the Bible. It's always been a part of us. And you can see the statements here. This is from the Baptist Press. Now, this was first published, and this is actually just a small part of the article, which made it even crazier. And they actually published it. It's a publication. It got no attention whatsoever, except for, I'm sure, probably within Baptist circles and the people that received the publication. But then, as most publications do today, you know, they take their articles and they post them online. So when it got posted online, this particular article got posted online, that's when somehow or another, you know, it got picked up and some attention was drawn to it. The article really is about just Chick-fil-A and a business, and he talks about a number of different things. Again, the majority of the article, it has nothing to do with these couple of paragraphs. Okay, but he just simply gets asked, hey, a lot of people, as you can see at the top sentence, hey, a lot of people, you know, have problems with, especially within the culture of today, have problems with the, you're a traditional family company. Woo, that's radical thinking, isn't it? Okay. But anyway, you can see what he says there. And the statements that he makes here about we operate as a family business, we want to do anything we possibly can to strengthen families. We're very much committed to that. And we intend to stay the course. We know that it might not be popular to everyone, but thank the Lord we live in a country. Now here he was completely wrong, at least from this what this set in motion. We live in a country where we can share our values and operate on biblical principles. So you would have never thought that those couple of paragraphs would have set in motion what it did, would you? By reading that. It's crazy if you think about it. And I mean, that right there got relayed as a strong anti-gay message. Strong anti-gay message. That right there. What you're reading right there. That's how it got relayed. Okay? They got zinged with all kinds of stuff, which is, again, is crazy. And again, it's just a cultural thing. And they got zinged with all kinds of stuff. They support hate organizations. Did you know that Chick-fil-A supports hate? Hate-filled organizations. Okay? One of the things that was listed is a ministry called Exodus International. Go home and Google Exodus International. You, yourself. Google Exodus, just like the book in the Bible, Exodus International. It's a ministry that reaches out to people and families that have homosexuality in their family to minister to those families and to help those people. It is labeled as a hate-filled organization. So you go home and look at their website and you decide. Because I'm not going to say, I could explain some other things to you, but I'm not going to. Because you need to go home, Google Exodus International, Focus on the Family is a hate-filled organization. Focus on the Family. The maker of all those little cartoons and all kinds of, Focus on the Family, all kinds of different stuff. Okay, so I only stress that for this. As we, you know, we're in an election year. If you haven't noticed that, I don't know where you've been, because commercials have been going on for like 4 years now. The last group, we got elected, and then the re-election campaign started. So there's been political commercials. It's not going to go away. How do I, as a believer, navigate this in the culture in which I live in? Because cultural issues will never go away, because it's all throughout Scripture where Christianity, the early church, battled against culture. Why? Because it is always trying to shape the way you think. The culture is always trying to force you to abandon biblical values, to shape and to mold you, to press you into its image, so to speak. You know what? The culture can't be your filter. The Word of God's got to be your filter. So Pastor John's going to talk about that as we get closer. It'll be toward the end of September, 1st of October. But as we get closer toward the election time, and it's not a political message. It's how do I navigate this as a believer in a lost and dying world? Of course, our job is to be a light in a lost and dying world. Amen? And it's not an anti-anybody message. It says anybody who wants to can come to Jesus and He receives them all. Amen? Okay, so, but what I encourage you is that we as a people, the joy of being an American, okay, because what really pushed a lot of people over the edge with the whole Chick-fil-A thing wasn't some of those quotes and stuff. It was the reaction of people in office that began to say, well, you're not welcome here. Now, you know, as Americans, we're a rebellious bunch. Is that not true? We don't react too well when people start telling us stuff we can't do. Isn't that right? All right. Excuse me? Our country's founded on rebellion. Right? I'm from the South. We rebelled against the rebellion. What does that say? Okay? So, I mean, we're kind of a stubborn bunch as Americans. Isn't that true? All right. And so when people begin to say, well, you're not entitled to that opinion, I promise you there are probably people who hated Chick-fil-A who went to Chick-fil-A. Okay? Because nobody's going to tell me what to think. Thus, as a believer, our job is we filter our lives with this. Not with man's opinion, not with people's thoughts, not with the thing of the day. And please don't be naive enough to think that the world around you is not trying to shape your beliefs. Because they're trying to shape your beliefs. Again, some of it is on purpose. Alright? And, you know, if you've watched any of the Olympics, you see all kinds of different commercials and point you to the shows that are coming up in the fall, all the new series, you know, they're getting ready to kick off here and stuff. And, you know, I got up this morning and watched the women's marathon. And, just watching them run is humbling and embarrassing because, mother of pearl. And, I mean, they run a full marathon in the time that most people run a half marathon. Okay, I think the winner was like 2 hours and 23 minutes. The men's marathon is next Sunday. I'll get up and watch that as well. But, and if you factor that 223 out over 26.2 miles, it's an average pace of 527, 5 minute and 25 seconds, 27 seconds per mile for 26.2 miles. Well, Lord, I got to get in my car to do that. Okay? All right, but anyway, but if you've watched any of the Olympics, you see all kinds of commercials. I mean, again, today, multiple times, even just today, in the couple hours I'm watching it today. I mean, I watched it before the 9 o'clock service and then came here to church. So, I mean, and just within that couple hours, multiple times, I mean, if there's a new show, I don't really watch a whole lot of, you know, shows like this anyway, but I mean, you see, there's a show coming. It's The New Normal. That's the name of the show, The New Normal. Okay, well, that's not by accident. Other shows, The Modern Family. There's messages behind that. You do understand that. Okay, so this fall, as Pastor John ministers to some along those lines, again, it's not meant to be political. We're not going to become a political organization. We're all about reaching and seeing people's lives be redeemed. Amen? So how do I navigate that as a believer in the world in which I live in when the world is constantly trying to shape my beliefs? They are constantly trying to. In fact, in Romans 12, if you look at the original languages there, when it talks about the world and things like this, it literally talks about you being pressed into its mold. Why? Because of the pressure that comes. Nobody wants to be labeled as a hate-filled person, correct? But you do realize that a lot of those comments that you hear, you're the target. You sitting in this room, that's you. Those bumper stickers that has say no to hate, that's got the line drawn toward it, that's you. You're the target because you're a hate-filled person. Because you actually have an opinion about the Bible. That's crazy, isn't it? Okay, so how do I navigate that and not just get pushed over the edge? Right? How do I navigate that as a believer? Now, again, the good thing for us is America, and we live in America, praise God, and you can vote. Right? You can vote. You want to see some things change? Vote. If everybody who went to Chick-fil-A voted, it would change some stuff. You know, some of the politicians, like in Chicago, Boston, they were pretty vocal. I mean, pretty vocal about some of the things that they said and stuff like that. Well, we're going to stop you from blah, blah, blah. You know what? Of all those people, because even in Chicago and Boston, there were huge lines at Chick-fil-A. So somebody's off somewhere, right? But you know what those people can do? They can go and vote. And somebody can be unemployed. True? The problem is a lot of times we don't exercise that right. So, again, it's not. I'm probably making it sound a little bit more political than what it's going to be. But I really wanted to encourage you is this. Is as children of God, as believers, our job is to be a light in a fallen world and to navigate this world so I don't allow the culture to pollute me so that I lose the ability to be a light. So that I lose the ability. The Bible talks about our speech being seasoned with salt, as it were, so that we, literally, our speech is appealing. How many of you know sometimes, man, that needs salt? Right? And our speech should be seasoned with salt so that we can be a light to people, so that we can help influence people. It's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. Amen? So anyway, I just couldn't pass up showing you the video. Again, he's a Christian comedian. Tim Hawkins is his name. We've actually played around with some times of, what could we do something here and actually bring him in here sometime live? We've actually talked about that. He's hilarious. So if you get a chance to YouTube him, again, Tim Hawkins. All right, we're going to look at Romans chapter 8 today here just for just a few minutes. Go through a number of different things. We're going to talk about being more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. More than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. We're going to read through Romans 8 and then go to a couple other passages of Scripture here. But let's go through Romans 8 here, look at a few things here. What shall we say? What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? That's a tremendous couple of scriptures right there. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? How will He, God the Father, who did not withhold His Son, but freely gave Him to us to redeem us, freely gave Jesus to redeem us, how will He not with Him freely give us all things? Man, that's pretty good right there. If you get that, just those two sentences settled in your heart, it'll change your life. That God gave everything for me, and He's not withholding anything from me. God is not withholding anything from you today. So if you'll get that settled, it'll change you. And I don't have time to go into that in great detail. But who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justified. Again, justified to be declared right. So it's God who has declared you right. So if God has declared you right, nobody can say you're not. Because He's the one that said, they're right. It's all because of the blood of Jesus. It's because of what the last song we sang. It's the precious blood of Jesus that redeemed us. And when that took place, God said, you're right. So He declared us right. That's what the word justified means. To be declared right with God. Who then is the one who condemns? Nobody. No one can condemn. Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus who died, more than that, who is raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for you. What's Jesus doing? He's praying for me. Today, right now, Jesus is praying for you. Right now. That's pretty comforting, isn't it? Right now, Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, and He's actually praying for you. You ain't got to call Grandma to pray for you. You got somebody a whole lot better who's already praying for you. Now, if you want to get Grandma in the picture, that's fine. But I'll tell you what, I got Jesus as the Son of God seated at the right hand of God. He's praying for me. He is constantly in intercession for you and for me. That's pretty wild if you think about it. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? What can separate us from God? Nothing. Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. That's a quote from Psalm 44. Though in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. In all these things we are what? More than a conqueror. It doesn't matter if what's going on. It doesn't matter good or bad. It doesn't matter what circumstances you're facing. It doesn't matter what's going around. You may be lined up like sheep being led to the slaughter. Which, how many of you know, that's a bad day. Okay? So you may be having a really bad day. It doesn't matter what's going around you. And all the, how can that be written like that, if you think about it? Nope. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. That's pretty wild. More than conquerors, all right? It uses the phrase more than conquerors. Go back just one, just for a second, real quick. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. It uses that phrase. Some newer translations will translate it. We have overwhelming victory through Christ. It'll use the word overwhelming victory. So it's not just a victory, really, in the original languages. It's telling you it's not just you won. We barely won. No, you more than won. You overwhelmingly won. The USA basketball team beat somebody this past week by like 80-something points. They are more than conquerors. Okay, now then Lithuania almost knocks us off, which is insane if you think about it. But whoever they beat, I mean, it's 80-something points. How many of you know that's not just a victory? That's more than a victory. That's the context. That's what's being relayed to you here. All right? So, now go to the next slide. Thanks. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels, demons, neither present nor future, nor any powers, height, depth, nothing. Nothing in all creation, anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What can separate me from the love of God in Christ? Nothing can. Why? I'm more than a conqueror through Him who loved me. Doesn't matter. Death, peril, doesn't matter what's going on. We may be lined up to be slaughtered like sheep, but I am more than a conqueror through Him who loved me. Now, I want to encourage you with this. It's one thing to sit in church and to read those scriptures and go, woo, that's awesome. How many of you know you got to leave? You got to get in your car and you're going to go somewhere. How many of you know life has a way of showing up? So you walk outside the door, man, you feel warm and fuzzy in here, or you may be cold in here. I don't know, wherever you're at. But you may be feeling good in here, and you walk out, and how many know life walks up to you, not only spits in your face, then smacks you right upside the head. You ever had that happen? So it's one thing to be sitting in here, and you feel, man, this is, oh, that's awesome. Praise God, more than a conqueror, more than a conqueror, more than a conqueror. But then how many know you go out, and you've got to navigate life. Sometimes you don't feel like a conqueror. Sometimes you feel conquered, isn't that right? Sometimes you think, man, what is going on here? So what I want to encourage you is, as Paul wrote these by the Spirit of God, he's persuaded, which we'll look at a scripture later, that Paul wrote to Timothy. And if you read the book of Acts, you read about Paul's life and stuff. Man, he had some rough times. Shipwrecked, stoned, left for dead, beaten, whooped, all kinds of stuff. And he's able to say, I'm more than a conqueror. Is he demented or something or what? How can he have that perspective? How can he have that? Well, I want to encourage you with this, is that you can have the same. You can be just as convinced as Paul. You can have it settled in your heart persuaded, for I am persuaded, nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. I am more than a conqueror through Him who loved me. So when I walk out these doors, it doesn't matter what comes. It doesn't matter. Life, death, peril, persecution, tribulation, doesn't matter. Nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. I'm more than a conqueror through Him who loved me. That you can face life, face the circumstances of life. How can I have that persuasion? We're going to look at a couple of things. I'll illustrate with the life of the disciples. If you look at them, and this is from Matthew 26, you look at the scripture here. Jesus is about to be crucified. So He's gone through some things with the disciples, and they're reacting to what Jesus said. Because they, again, they don't quite fully understand what we would know today about the redemptive work of Christ. They're picturing the Messiah in the typical Jewish mindset of the day, that the Messiah is their deliverer. He is Israel's deliverer. And He's literally coming to reestablish the glory of the kingdom of Israel back in the days of David and Solomon. And He's going to kick out the oppressive Romans and these other countries that have oppressed us. And He's going to reestablish the glory of Israel. So Jesus is trying to tell them some stuff like, the Son of Man, He's going to be delivered up and die. And they're like, what? No, has He lost His mind? So they're reacting to Jesus saying some stuff. And He says, Peter declared, even if everyone else deserts you, I will never desert you. Jesus looks at him. And again, I picture things in my head. Sure, Jesus kind of looks at him and kind of smiles a little bit and says, I tell you the truth, Peter, you're going to pretty much mess it up here in just a couple of hours. That's what He says. He says, Peter, I'm sorry I have to break this to you, buddy, but you're going to wimp out just like everybody else, and you're going to deny me three times here real quick. And it's literally just a few hours from now this is going to happen. And then He goes on here and says, Peter's like, no way. No way I'm going to do that. Now, we pick on Peter because he's the person that's mentioned here. And we kind of pick on him because he's the guy that tries to cut the guy's ear off and all this other kind of stuff. And we pick on him. And because it's relayed, his failure is relayed very publicly because it's relayed about him denying Jesus the three times, correct? It's relayed in the Gospels. We see that. But look at the last sentence here. It says, all the other disciples bowed the same. Peter says, even if I have to die with you, bless God, we'll die with you. I'll die with you if we have to. All the other disciples said the exact same thing. So all 12 or 11, all of them are saying, bless God, we'll die. If it means that, we're going to die. We'll die with you, Jesus. Now, we go down just a few verses here. And now a couple hours have passed roughly, but look at this. Now, they've come to take Jesus. Peter has already tried to whack the guy's head off and cuts his ear off. Jesus heals the ear. And of course, it's at that particular point they realize, okay. Because remember, Jesus even says, all these things are happening to fulfill prophecy. And they're like, okay, I guess maybe we didn't quite grasp what you're saying. So you mean we're not going to fight? And of course, you look at what they did. At that point, the disciples deserted him and fled. Now, we're talking literally a couple hours before. It has not been a few days. We're talking a couple of hours have passed. They went to the Garden of Gethsemane, prayed. People showed up now to take Jesus. None of us, we'll all die for you if we have to. And this takes place, and they're like, we're out of here. All 12 of them, all 11 of them left. Every one of them fled. Not only did they flee, they hid. Peter followed at a distance. He's trying to remain hidden. He's not wanting to be seen. And then the denials take place. Jesus is crucified. The disciples are hiding. Even after Jesus is risen from the dead, they're hiding. They don't understand what's going on. They're confused. They're hiding. They're in fear. Jesus is risen from the dead. He even appears to them, and they don't believe it. He has to prove to them that it's really Him. And then he's like, look, it's me. Touch me. Touch my hands. Touch me. Got something to eat? Give me something to eat. I'll eat something. Ghosts don't eat. Give me the food. That's what he says. Give me the food. I'll eat something in front of you. Which again, side note, further proof of my theology about eating in heaven. Eating in heaven is a good thing. Okay? And Orem's cinnamon rolls will be there. Praise God. Anyway. And you won't balloon up to 500 pounds when you eat them. But anyway, I can't go down that road. I'll get distracted. Okay. But he eats in front of them. He has to convince them. These are the same people who said, we'll die for you. None of us will deny you. We will die for you. They're hiding. They ran. They hid. They didn't even believe He's raised from the dead when Jesus had told them, I'm going to be risen from the dead. They didn't even believe it. So how did these people, these men, and later men and women who have been hiding and stuff, how did they go from being like that to literally changing the world? You and I are sitting in this room because of those people. Now think about that. That handful of people who later in Scripture tells us, you know, the numbers of people that Jesus appeared to at one time. We don't know exactly when this is because it's not elaborated as far as exactly when it was. But at one time, as many as 500 people saw Him at one time. So we know He appeared to people, did things, etc. like this. But how did those people go from hiding, from fleeing, deserting Jesus, to being the people that literally turned the world upside down? There are actually phrases used in the book of Acts. Those people who have turned the world upside down here, come here. Of course, we would say we're turning the world right side up. But these people that are causing all this chaos, all this confusion, that meant they've come here. How did they get there? I would submit to you that you can do the exact same thing. You can be just as convinced as they were. You can have the assurance just as strongly so that you, when you face life, can go, I am persuaded. I am convinced. Nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Doesn't matter what's going on in my life. It may be nasty, bad, terrible. It may be a worthless day. But nothing separates me from the love of God. I am more than a conqueror through Him who loved me. The phrase here that's up, for I am convinced, just want to tell you about it just for a second. If you look up those words, which again, you can do this on your own. Number of different Bible things on the line now that you can look up words and stuff like that. But if you look at the word for, and the one that's used here in this particular sentence, it's a confirming word. So it'd be like you saying yes. It's a confirmatory sense, which means it's basically saying, yes, I really am convinced. Yes. And the I am convinced part, the persuaded, some translations use the word persuaded. The persuaded is a passive voice, which means I've allowed myself to become persuaded. I have yielded, humbled myself, and allowed myself to become convinced or to become persuaded. So you could say the sentence is saying, yes, I really have been persuaded. I've allowed myself to be convinced and persuaded that these things really are true. That's what's being relayed to you. So how do I get to that place? How do I get to where I really can say, yes, I really am thoroughly convinced and persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That nothing, doesn't matter. We may be lined up to be slaughtered by sheep, like sheep, but I am more than a conqueror through Him who loved me. Nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Don't want to sound too fatalistic, but even if you die, you win. If you really believe you're going to heaven, and Orem cinnamon rolls will be there, you win. Even if you die, you win. You understand? Now, we're not looking for that to happen, of course. All right? But at the same time, it doesn't matter what's going on in my life. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. Nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. I'm more than a conqueror through Him who loved me. How do I get that thoroughly convinced? Yes, I really am convinced that these things are true. How do I get there? I want to look at a couple of scriptures just for a few minutes about this. The next one's up from John. And we're going to illustrate it. If you look at the life of the disciples, what happens there? They're hidden, and then eventually they're convinced that Jesus, they're convinced, etc. They begin the ministry. You move into the book of Acts. What happens? Jesus tells them, don't leave Jerusalem until you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You can see that in Acts chapter 2. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. They speak with tongues and stuff. And again, sometimes as Pentecostal, charismatic, whatever phraseology you want to use there, sometimes we get hung up on that part. But I mean, there's a whole lot more. And Pastor John's ministered on those lines. You can listen to those online, and I'm not minimizing that, okay? But if we're not careful, we'll focus on something like that and we miss a huge part, a primary part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And that's what Jesus is talking about here in John 14. If you're about to die, or you know you're going to die soon, you know, like Jesus in John 14, He knows His time has come. He knows what's taking place. He knows He's about to go. Wouldn't you want to talk to people? Wouldn't you want to call people around you, especially people that are important to you? Wouldn't you like to say goodbye? You know, most of the time, people that have lost loved ones, the biggest regrets usually revolve around that they didn't get to say goodbye. Isn't that true? I didn't get to talk to them again. I didn't get to. Okay, so here's Jesus who knows He's about to die. How many of you know he would start talking about stuff that's important, which we'll see it in the next slide. He actually is. If you go to John 14, 15, 16, 17, he talks a lot about the Holy Spirit. He talks a lot about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So look, even in this scripture, look what he says. He says, the Father's going to send the advocate, the counselor. The word there literally is paraclete. It's like a lawyer, somebody called alongside to help you, to represent you, to be connected with you. So the advocate, as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit. He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I've told you. What will the Holy Spirit do for me? He's going to teach me and remind me of the words of Jesus. That's an awesome thing if you think about it. That living within us, a part of the Godhead, a part of the Trinity, lives in me, each and every one of us, to teach us, to guide us, to instruct us in the Word of God. He's going to bring back to our remembrance the things that Jesus said. That's an awesome thing. And then he goes on to say, I'm giving you peace. I'm giving you a great gift. I'm giving you peace. And a lot of times we'll take that scripture out sometimes, especially when you're talking about peace. We'll pull that out and say, Jesus promised us peace and stuff, which he did. You're reading it. Okay, but look at the context in which it's in. How can I really, truly have peace in my life? It's when I allow the Spirit of God to teach me, to instruct me, to make the Word of God plain to me, that I am thoroughly convinced, thoroughly persuaded that that is true. So it doesn't matter what's coming my way. It doesn't matter the circumstances of my life. It doesn't matter what's going on in my life. I am thoroughly convinced. I am persuaded. Nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Peril, trouble, bad times, good times, life, death, persecution, doesn't matter. Nothing can separate me. I'm more than a conqueror through Him who loved me. How do I get there? The Spirit of God helps convince me of that truth. It bears witness with my heart that those things are true. And I am thoroughly persuaded that those things are true. I want to encourage you. You can have that same persuasion about anything else. I can illustrate it to you this way, and I've done this before. How many of you today, sitting here today, you would say, I know without a shadow of a doubt, without any doubt whatsoever, I know that if I die today, I am going to heaven. How many of you know? It's not a trick question. You know. It's settled in your heart. I know. Well, how do you know that? Because you can't prove it. I mean, outside of the Bible and small thing of Jesus being raised from the dead, but outside of that. But again, you can't really prove that per se. You understand? So how do you know that? Because you can't really point to anything. It's not like you can line stuff up and say, okay, well, here's how I know. Here's the facts. Right? How do you do that? How do you know that? Well, you know it in here, don't you? I mean, it's in here. It's in your gut, so to speak. Correct? It's a knowing. The Bible, you know that's the Spirit of God. The Bible says that's the Holy Spirit bearing witness with your spirit or with your heart that we are the children of God. That's also from Romans. The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the children, the sons and daughters of God. You know, without any doubt, nobody can convince you, nobody can talk you out of it, nobody can sway you, it doesn't matter, they can put a gun to your head. You know in your heart that you're saved, on your way to heaven. You have that knowing and you can't prove it. You can't point to anything outside of turning to the Scriptures and Bible. You can't point, but you know it. Nothing can shake that. True? That's the Holy Spirit bearing witness with your heart. You can have that same feeling, so to speak, about any other promise in God's Word. You can have the same knowing, the same convincing, the same strength of conviction. For I am persuaded. Yes, I really am persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Death, peril, famine, nakedness, doesn't matter what's going on. Lined up like sheep to be slaughtered. I am more than a conqueror through Him who loved me. Why is that? Because He loves me. And nothing can separate me from Him. It may be bad. It may be a really bad day. Sometimes bad things happen. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. We can't explain everything that happens. Isn't that true? Some things happen and you go, man, that makes no sense. It's a tragedy. That's this, blah, blah, blah. We live in a fallen world. Stuff, bad things happen. But even in the midst of those bad things, you know what? I'm more than a conqueror. Paul, okay, well, I got to go to this next scripture first. I'll talk about Paul in a second. Here, John 16, I put it up in a paraphrase in the message, just to phrase it a little bit different. Again, Jesus starts this off by saying, look, guys, I got a lot of things I'd like to tell you, but I can't tell you right now. Do you know Jesus even told the disciples, it's actually better for you that I go? He said, it's better for you that I go. Why is that? Because the Spirit of God's going to come. So it's actually better for me to go to heaven because the Holy Spirit's going to come, and the Holy Spirit, He's everywhere. He's going to live inside you. He's going to be in you. And it's actually better for you that I go. I've got a lot of things. Again, you can read it. I've got so many things that I'd like to tell you, but you can't handle them now. But, now think about this. Jesus is saying, the Son of God is saying, man, there's a lot of stuff I'd like to tell you, but you're not quite, you can't handle it right now. But the Spirit of God is going to come and live within you. And look how it's phrased here. Again, it's a paraphrase, but it's kind of, it's relaying the message of the Bible, of these scriptures to you. But the friend, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, He's going to take you by the hand. He's going to guide you into all the truth there is. The Holy Spirit will do what? Take you by the hand and guide you into the truth. That's amazing if you think about it. The Son of God said there's stuff you can't handle. But you know what's coming? The Spirit of God's going to come, the Spirit of truth, and He'll take you by the hand. He's actually going to show you the stuff that I can't tell you right now. I'm here in person right now, but I can't tell them to you because you're not ready. But the Spirit of God is going to come and live within you, and He's going to take you by the hand, and He's going to lead you into all truth. He's going to bring back to your remembrance the things I said. He's going to show you things to come. And again, He goes on there and says, He's not going to draw attention to Himself. He's going to honor me. He goes on and says, everything the Father, Jesus says, everything the Father has is mine, and the Spirit of God is going to take everything that I have and show it to you. And there's other scriptures I could go to, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, other places about we can know the things that are freely given to us by God, but I don't have the time to go in there. But the main thing is just what that scripture says at the end. All those things, everything in Christ Jesus, the Father has given it, it's all been passed. Jesus Himself said, the words I speak to you, they're not my words, they're the Father's words. I do nothing of myself. It's all what I do, that's what I see the Father doing. So you want to see a reflection of the Father, you look at Jesus' life and ministry. He says, everything the Father has is mine, and the Spirit of God is going to take you by the hand. He's going to show you everything that's been given, everything. He's not hiding anything from you. How can the light bulb come on? How can I have it, that same convincing, that same knowing, that same persuasion in my gut? I know that's true. How can I have that? The Spirit of God will bring that to pass in my life. And it's a simple thing. It's not hard. This is where we make stuff hard sometimes. It's so simple. You know how deeply spiritual this prayer needs to be? It's like this. Show me. Ooh, that was tough, wasn't it? That's it. Spirit of God lives within you. His part of His job, one of His primary jobs, Jesus said that. Jesus said, He's going to take what's of mine, He's going to show it to you. He's going to take you by the hand, He's going to lead you into all truth. The light bulb can come on. That inward knowing, for I am persuaded, I am thoroughly convinced. You can have the same convincing. You can have that same thing in your heart. Now look at these. This is Paul. Look at the next scripture here. Paul wrote this to Timothy. Timothy traveled some with Paul. Timothy eventually is a pastor. He's writing to Timothy, and this is late in Paul's life, actually. And in fact, it's not too long after this that Paul himself is martyred, but he's writing this, and he's saying persecutions, afflictions. Now, Timothy would have been with him during some of these, okay? And you can read about that in the book of Acts. Even these places that are mentioned, you can read that in the book of Acts. The persecution that took place, you know of all the things I went through. But look how Paul says, out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Isn't that wild? He got beat. He got all kinds of stuff. And Paul is able to write and say, out of every one of them, God delivered me. I am more than a conqueror through Him who loved me. You know why? Because nothing can separate me from love. How can he say that? When he got beat up, drug out of town, left for dead, all kinds of other stuff. Had to be led out of a town one time by a basket so he could escape because people were trying to kill him. How could he write this to Timothy? You know why? Because his perspective's different. Because he's thoroughly convinced, thoroughly persuaded, nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. I'm more than a conqueror. Even if I die, I win. Paul even said that. Paul himself said, you know what, it's far better for me. And if it was up to me, I'd die and go to heaven. That's what Paul said. But you know what, it's better for you that I stay, so I'm going to stay. He's like, man, I really want to just simply go to heaven. In fact, Paul, he'd actually been there already. He's like, I actually would like to go. But I'll stay, and I'll hold out, because it's coming in the future. He says, it's actually better for you that I stay. Now think about how convinced he would have had to have been to be able to write that. Now I know he's writing by the Spirit of God, but how convinced would he have had to be able to say those things? And how he writes this to Timothy. He says, you know what, Timothy? All these things that took place, you know, Timothy, in fact, you're actually with me. during some of those things. You know the persecutions. You know the things that I endure. But look, out of all those things, the Lord delivered me. Yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus suffer persecution. Evil men, apostles are going to go worse and worse. Deceiving, being deceived. And look at the next slide. It says all these things, go to the next one. But you must continue in these things, being assured of, knowing, Timothy, you've heard these from a long time, how the Holy Scriptures, they pointed you to Jesus. But look what he says in 16 and 17. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The phrase inspiration of God literally means God breathed. Okay, so the Scripture that we have, that God, is literally God breathed through human vessels. It's God literally breathing those Scriptures through human vessels. It's by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Word of God, how much Scripture? All Scripture is what? It's given by inspiration of God. What is it? It's profitable. It profits me so that I will be thoroughly equipped, that the man of God, the woman of God, the people of God would be what? Thoroughly equipped for every good work. You know what? God wants you to be thoroughly equipped, and it's an easy thing. Because the Spirit of God will take that word and makes it real to you. Makes it a lot. So I have that knowing, that inward knowing. I am thoroughly convinced. No matter what's going around me, no matter what's taking place, no matter what's happened in my life, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Go to the next couple of scriptures here. We'll wrap this up. Where we get ourselves in trouble sometimes is we make this too hard. You know what? It really is a simple thing. It's not difficult at all. This scripture here talks about, this is where Jesus gave the illustration, the parable about the house built on the sand, house built on the rock, storms come, the one that's built on the sand was swept away, one built on the rock stood. And he talks about basically the people that hear my words and do them, they're the ones, and that's what he's saying here. Again, this is from the paraphrase as well, from the message. The words I speak to you, they're not incidental additions, homeowner improvements, they are foundational words, they're words to what? Build your life on. The Word of God is not just something that we come and hear. I don't want to just hear it. I actually want to have that knowing, for I am convinced, so that it changes the way I live. I'm able to face life differently. I'm able to approach life differently. The last slide we'll look at here. Look at this. It says, Jesus also used this illustration. The kingdom of heaven is like the yeast a woman uses in baking bread. No, yeast bread is awesome. How much yeast does it take? Not very much. A lot of food references today. It must be time to eat. But how much yeast does it take? Not much. And you put that little bit of yeast in there and it's worked through that dough, and doesn't it infiltrate the whole batch? You know, the Word of God, they compare it to the Word of God. The Word of God is exactly the same. It doesn't take much. Another time, in another scripture, Jesus used the mustard seed as an illustration. He says the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. A mustard seed is just like a black dot. But that little black dot, what does it do? It grows. Planted in the soil, it grows, produces a strong and hardy plant that even the birds of the air are able to take shelter in it. What's he signifying there? You know what? It doesn't take much. Where I want to encourage you this morning is that same conviction. For I am persuaded nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Death, life, persecution, etc. You saw the scripture. Doesn't matter what's going on. I am more than a conqueror. You can have that same persuasion as you go through your life. And it really is simple. What I encourage you, you may want to start with the Romans 8 section. You may want to start with just the section we looked at today. Underline that, which I hope you've got a Bible you can underline, but underline that, circle that, however you do it. Go back there and you may want to just say, God, you know what? I'd like to have that conviction. Spirit of God, help me really understand how this relates to me. Because it's written for you. Jesus shed His blood for you, and purchase that for you. So it's yours. So Spirit of God, help me understand. That's how hard it is to pray that, right there. Don't feel like it's got to be this whole thing, because again, some things get projected on us. We think, it's got to be this. And again, when we talk about religious things, it's got to be hurtful and painful and hard. It's got to be hard. And the Spirit of God makes it easy. Okay? And will make it easier for you to grasp those things. That's His job. And I'm not trying to minimize the whole God part of the equation stuff, but that's His job, so to speak, is to make it easy for you and for me. His job is to turn that flashlight on, the light bulb coming on, that inward knowing, that bearing witness with our heart. I know that's true. Well, I know it may be bad. I mean, circumstances may be going on, but I can have that inward knowing. You know, nothing's going to separate me. I'm more than a conqueror through Him who loved me. You can have that same convincing. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. Lord, I do pray for each one of us in this room for that convincing, that each one of us will be able to say, boldly say, for I am persuaded nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Doesn't matter the circumstances, the situations of life that's going on around me. Bad things may be taking place, whether that's physically or whatever, doesn't matter. Whatever's going on in my life, Father, help each one of us have that thorough convincing persuasion in our hearts that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us, more than conquerors through Him who gave His life for us, shed His blood for us, is now seated at Your right hand, ever living to make intercession for us, for me, for each person here. Father, thank You so much for allowing us to truly see, be persuaded, convinced. Father, I pray for each one of us in that light, in Jesus' name. Just keep your head bowed, your eyes closed just for a moment. If you're here this morning and you're not sure where you stand in your relationship with God, you know, a few minutes ago when I talked about raising your hand, if you know, how many of you know without a shadow of a doubt, maybe you kind of hesitated. Maybe you're like, I don't know. Maybe you're not real sure about where you stand in your relationship with God. I want to encourage you with something. You can know. In the same way, you can know other things about the Word of God. You can know. You don't have to leave here uncertain. You don't have to leave here not knowing or afraid or concerned. You know what? It's a simple thing. The Bible calls salvation a gift. It's a free gift. Jesus purchased it for you. God the Father gives it to you. All I've got to do is reach out and receive it. And you'll do that right there at your chair. I'm not going to single you out. I won't embarrass you. I'm not going to have you come forward. I'm not going to have you stand. We'll pray for you. In fact, everybody in the room will pray the prayer out loud together with you. It's a simple thing. All you've got to do is just simply receive that gift that Jesus purchased for you. You say, Pastor Steve, that's me. I'm really not sure. I can't think of a time that I really asked Jesus to be my Savior, to be my Lord, to come into my heart, to forgive me of my sins. If you're unsure, please, please, please don't leave without knowing. All I ask you to do is here, just a second, raise your hand again. We're going to pray for you right where you're seated. You'll just need to raise it up high enough so I can see it. The light's a little bright. So raise it up so I can see it so I know I need to pray for you. And we'll pray for you again right where you're seated. And Jesus will come into your heart. If that's you, please raise your hand. We'll pray for you again right where you sit. Say, Pastor Steve, that's me. I'm really not sure. I'm really unsure where I stand in my relationship with God. Not going to drag this out. I'm going to wait a moment. If you're here this morning, you're unsure. Very quickly, just simply raise your hand right where you're seated. Anybody? Only going to wait another second here. Anybody? Thank you so much. You can put your hand back down. Anybody else? Anybody else want to join these and raise their hand? Anybody else real quick? Thank you so much. You can put your hand back down. Anybody else? Going to look one more time. Again, please don't leave. It's a simple thing. You're going to pray right there at your chair. Jesus will come into your heart. Is there anybody else like to join these that raise their hand? All right, let's pray this prayer out loud together with these that raise their hand. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to You in Jesus' name. And I thank You for Jesus. I thank You that He came to this earth, was crucified, was buried, was raised from the dead for me. Lord Jesus, I ask You to come into my heart. Thank You for cleansing me, for forgiving me. I receive You now as my Savior and as my Lord. Thank You for making me a child of God. Amen. Amen. Let's give them a round of applause. Thank you so much.